Thank you very much, Senator Mitchell, and thank you, Shelley, for delivering thoughtful and provocative and at least partially truthful remarks about me. I also want to honor, once again, briefly, our awardees today, who have, in the best sense of the word, been activists, have shown dedication and commitment above and beyond the call of duty in their personal and professional lives to make Maine a better place for us and for our children. It is a real it's a real pleasure to have those people involved with everything that we do. Before I give my remarks, there's one other person that I would like to acknowledge. This may embarrass her. She has been by my side for all of the 20 years that I have served as the council's executive director, and for 5 years before that. She is truly patient and devoted, the loving mother of our two daughters, and I have a small bouquet of flowers that I hope isn't completely faded because I got them this morning. But Dana, there's actually hard evidence that I'm really not the executive director of the Natural Resources Council, but that people, other people run it. Judy Burke told me that I had to have prepared remarks for today. So if I say anything unkind about Judy, there were some there were some very definite things that I wanted to say today, and These are really designed to be personal remarks. This is indeed a truly wonderful organization. I want to add my welcome to that of others, to all of you for coming to the Council's 45th annual meeting, my 20th as the Executive Director. You, our members, our board, our staff, and other friends are the heart and soul of Maine's environmental community. Our members, and I'd like to speak to you first, are remarkably loyal. You are generous with your financial support. You write letters to the editor. You are legislators. And the people who have been given awards here today are just four of those who have labored in the trenches for a long, long time and continue to do so. You come to Augusta for hearings on everything from cleaning up Maine's oldest, dirtiest power plant, Wyman Station. I was talking to Dr. Adams and his wife before the meeting. Our work on Wyman is not done. More to come. You come to help us restore the wild character of the Allegash Wilderness Waterway. You fight with us to clean up the Androscoggin River, still Maine's dirtiest river, plagued by low levels of dissolved oxygen and by dioxin. 30 years, more than 30 years after Senator Mitchell wrote the Clean Water Act. That is not the way it should be, and I give you my word today and that of the Natural Resources Council, it will not continue that way if we have anything to say about it. And we do. You've worked tirelessly for passage of two public land acquisition bonds, 1987 and 1999. And you put your collective shoulder to the wheel again this year, all year long. And unfortunately, we were not able to break a partisan deadlock and get a land bond on the ballot this November. But we will. We will be back in 2005. The Land for Maine's Future program is too important a program not to have on the ballot and not to have the people of Maine once again say, yes, I support that, and I want to protect more special places all across this state. You have also, and this is more recent, sent comments and signed postcards which we are going to deliver personally to EPA Administrator Mike Leavitt at some point in the next couple of months. Comments in postcards and sentiments designed to send a clear message to him that mercury from old, dirty, coal-fired power plants all across this country must be cleaned up. You want a real program, not a smoke and mirrors program that this EPA is offering right now. And I pledge to you here today that if EPA won't clean up 90% or more of the mercury emissions from those old power plants, then we'll go to Congress and ask them to do it, and we will stay at that job until it is done. As many of you know, Mr. Leavitt was in Maine recently, as a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago. Some might say this was a campaign stop. Of course, this is a campaign year. He came to do a press conference about a national pilot project to clean up school bus tailpipe emissions. The council had only a day's notice of the fact that he was coming, and we did not know, without some scurrying around, what the subject of his visit to Maine was. We immediately went to work to try to broaden the scope from just school bus tailpipe emissions to power plant emissions, and specifically mercury. We talked to the editorial staffs of the Bangor Daily News and the Portland Press Herald. I called Nikki Callio at the Press Herald, and Judy called the Bangor Daily, urging them to greet Mr. Leavitt the day he arrived with editorials that said, please clean up these power plants and get rid of the mercury. And both of those papers, allies that they very often are, responded, and responded strongly. As the Press Herald said, on September 21st, the day that Mr. Leavitt came, I'm paraphrasing only slightly here, the school bus cleanup is an excellent program that protects air quality and the health of our children. But there's something else that can be done to reach these goals. Strong rules reducing mercury emissions from the nation's power plants. I might add parenthetically that when Administrator Leavitt visited the Press Herald after doing his press conference about school bus emissions, at which he didn't talk about power plants, he got barraged with questions from their editorial staff and from their reporters about power plants, and about three-quarters of the article that appeared in next day's Press Herald was about mercury and air pollution from power plants. And that's the way it should be. We need to hold our public officials accountable, and the press and we the people will do that. I also called the administrator's office just the day before Mr. Leavitt was due to visit to ask if we could meet with him. I had to call back several times. It seemed that my request got lost in the office. But about quarter past five, somebody who worked for the administrator said, yes, he will meet with you. We arranged a place and a time. And Matt Prindeville, who does outreach on our federal issues and our toxics issues, hastily arranged for a small group of people from the environmental and public health communities to meet with Mr. Leavitt. Lonnie Graham, who's with us today, an NRCM board member, a physician, practicing physician, and former director of the Bureau of Health, was at that meeting. She was calm and direct and ever so eloquent as she talked to Mr. Leavitt about the very real impacts of mercury pollution from power plants on unborn babies, on children, and on women. I would like to be able to tell you today that Lonnie and we had persuaded Mr. Leavitt to give us that serious program that will substantially reduce mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants. But that would be a little bit like telling you that Peabody Coal Company has just abandoned mountaintop removal in West Virginia. I believe, nonetheless, that it is very important for us to meet with, to confront, to talk frankly and honestly with people like Leavitt, to explain to him what is at stake for Maine people and our environment, and to let him know that we will be watching as he makes his decision. We must do everything possible to hold people like Mr. Leavitt accountable. In addition to meeting with Leavitt, we've done other things on mercury. John Hink, our staff attorney, testified about a strong mercury rule at an EPA hearing in Philadelphia earlier this year. And we've also joined with the National Wildlife Federation, represented, as you know, here today, and the Isaac Walton League in suing the Environmental Protection Agency to stop them from issuing the rule that is proposed now and that is so woefully inadequate. I want to thank you, our members, for providing the help and the support and the active engagement with us, because without you, we could do none of these things. Now I'd like to talk a minute about the Council's board, past and present, an extraordinarily dedicated collection of wonderful individuals. You are doctors and advocates, and doctors and activists, lawyers and scientists, business people and professors, young parents with young children, and retirees who are not really retired at all. You come from many different walks of life from most parts of Maine. You explore difficult and complex issues with zest, always, always considering what is in the best long-term interests of the state of Maine. You write op-eds, you buttonhole legislators, and one of you, Jane Eberle, stand up, Jane, is running for the legislature. We need more people like Jane representing us in the Maine State Legislature. This board really, in the very best sense of the word, owns the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Board members in NRCM have never been passive, and I hope that they never will. A short story here. It was board members, specifically John Lund, Bill Townsend, and Ed Riggs, who persuaded their comrades in arms to take on the task of removing the Edwards Dam and restoring the Kennebec River. Jim, Bill, and Ed did what I call shoehorning an issue onto the council's agenda when it's already very full. This was back in 1988. Our staff attorneys were already fully committed, writing growth management legislation, working on revising the state solid waste management laws, and pushing for stronger enforcement of air pollution laws against the pulp and paper industry. So we decided to go with outside counsel, went to work on creating the Kennebec Coalition, and set our sights on blowing up Edwards Dam. The rest, as they say, is history. One footnote, much to Bill Townsend's dismay, the regulators wouldn't let us dynamite the Edwards Dam. So he has first dibs on the plunger when the next one comes down. Thanks for everything over the years, Bill. The board also wanted to create a better place for the staff to work. We were rabbit warrened into two buildings on State Street, and we skidded toboggan style down a precipitous driveway on the ice in the middle of the winter for many years, I might add. So the board, under leadership of John Lund and Ben, whom we've honored here today, went to work on finding a new home and talking seriously about a capital campaign. We found the building only a stone's throw from the State House, an ideal location for us, and undertook a building and endowment fund campaign. Dan Amory, who's retiring from the board today, courageously led that campaign to a very, very successful conclusion. Honor Fox, our development director at the time, who's also here, did a really splendid job. Every board member gave generously, every board member pitched in, and we now have a modest endowment, about $3 million, that enables us to tackle tough issues when they arise in a timely fashion and to fill financial gaps when they happen, and they do, on important ongoing projects. Many, many thanks to our board, each and every one of you. And I'd like next to address a few comments to the staff. You are very simply the best, the finest group of people that I could ask to work with or even imagine working with. From the day I walked through the door as a staff attorney in late 1983, you have given tirelessly of your personal energy and your professional talents to protect the natural heritage of this state that all of us love so very much. I can't mention everyone, but I would like to say a few words about the people who have been with us for a long, long time. Carol Cole, already a staff veteran, when I arrived at the council, has done so much to stay in touch with our members and to raise money that her contributions really defy description in words. She has served in every role in our development department, from membership secretary to acting development director, while raising two wonderful sons, and more recently, and happily, hiking regularly in Greece with her husband. Thank you, Carol. Kathy Johnson, already mentioned here today, joined us. Joined our staff in 1990 to direct our growth management work, but switched to heading up our Northwoods project when development pressure moved north and the destructive timber harvesting practices that you've already heard about today began taking an increasing toll in that region of the state. She also, and this is important, watches over Baxter Park and the Allegash Wilderness Waterway and a number of other places. Like Carol, Kathy loves camping, hiking, canoeing, all outdoor activities. And Kathy would prefer to camp out in Baxter State Park or maybe up on the Allegash. But every spring, about the time the legislature enters its final week, she can actually be found camping out on the third floor of the State House, buttonholing any legislator who happens to be awake and working on issues like sustainable forestry and funding for the Land for Maine's Future program. Thank you, Kathy. Becky Morse, our Director of Finance and Administration, is a key member of our management team and someone whom our members really never hear about. She constructs the Council's budget and manages our financial affairs, all the while watching for opportunities to make our operations more efficient, thus devoting more of your precious dollars to our advocacy program and to getting the work that is the core of the organization's mission done. Thank you, Becky. Judy Burke. Judy is a truly remarkable advocacy communications director. Over more than 13 years, she has helped the Maine and the national press to get to know the Natural Resources Council and our work. She is equally comfortable talking with a weekly in the Mid-Coast as she is with the New York Times, and when an initiative in Maine, like the agreement to remove dams and restore the Penobscot River, makes the front page of the New York Times, as it did last October, believe me, it's no accident. It's because Judy made it happen. Thank you, Judy. There's one other person I want to mention, and some of you know her because you call or write to me and you hear back from her, and that's Beth Diamond. She has been my... She has been my administrative assistant, my right arm, and lots of other things. And without her, I couldn't begin to do my job. Thank you very much, Beth. I just want to thank all of the staff and would once again lead you in a round of applause for this marvelous group of people. My comments at, I think, probably every previous annual meeting have always included at least a short summary of the highlights of the past year's accomplishments by the Council, and I'm purposefully not going to do that today. Somebody knows me too well. I would like to say that a couple of the highlights have been enactment of Maine's, of the nation's first e-waste law, approval of the cut-and-run logging, the liquidation harvesting regulations, and the Penobscot River Restoration Agreement. I want to pause just for one moment today to dedicate our efforts to restoring the Penobscot River to the people who are so much a part of that river and of Maine's heritage for thousands of years, our friends at the Penobscot Indian Nation. And then in closing, I would like to pose a question. Where do we go from here? But I'm not going to answer that question. I'd like to say that there are some issues that are on our plate, in our portfolio already, restoring the Kennebec and Penobscot Rivers, cleaning up the Androscoggin River, securing federal funds through congressional action, we hope, to acquire and protect additional large parcels in the northern forest, finishing cleaning up the job of air pollution and mercury from coal-fired power plants, and substantially reducing Maine's contributions to greenhouse gases, making us a real leader among states in the country. As I've said on many occasions, the environmental community is much like an extended family. We work together, we play together, we nurse our wounds, and we regroup and plot strategy after losses together. We must extend this family further. We must enlist our friends, encouraging them to contribute, to become activists, to join our ranks. We must enlist our children and anyone else who is tempted to say, someone else will do this for us. Everyone who has enjoyed Acadia Park, paddled a river, fished a pond, hiked the Mahoosics, walked Crescent Beach should be part of our family and partners in our work. They too must shoulder their share of the responsibility for taking care of Maine. Together we have done much work over the last 20 years and beyond. This work has been a true joy for me, and it has been a path in my life that I would not trade for anything else. Together, we will continue to build a stronger Natural Resources Council. Together, we will continue to extend the environmental community in Maine. We will restore more rivers. We will stop the plague of pollution that makes fish in our lakes and ponds unsafe to eat. We will bring about a clean energy future for Maine. We will protect more forests and even create some real wilderness beyond the borders of Percival Baxter's park. That's my vision for the future of our work together, and I want to thank you all for coming to the meeting, for honoring me, and for joining with each other in doing so much to protect this magnificent state. Thanks.